The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 330. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Upper Free Sunday.
And Brian Monjoma.
Man, these Adam stories, yo, you miss out so much.
Yo, Wahlburgers, bruh.
Wahlburgers. People in the chat, you know what that is, right? It's no support. Wahlburgers.
Yeah, that put me on. But I'm still trying to figure out how they related to Donnie Wahlberg. Like,
they opened them up. They opened up a chain.
Oh, his family? Wait, Donnie Wahlberg or Mark Wahlberg?
Donnie Wahlberg, yeah. And Marky Mark. All the brothers. They decided to get into the fucking burgers chain shit, and they opened up their own thing.
That's wild, man. Just have
go
a bun.
Eat a burger.
Right? Oh, man. Anyway, we got some questions for that. Brett, who the fuck knows with Brett? I hope he shows up, though, because later on I want to ask him why he's not liking Attack on Titan. He's the only guy who doesn't, you know, who watches the show on here who was like, what the fuck is this shit? Meanwhile, the rest of you guys are like, you know, it's hilarious, man. Brett, he is that guy, though. You know, am I the only one? Am I the only one? That's Brett. That's Brett in a nutshell.
Well, he says that. That's his own words right there. Yeah. Put that on a shirt.
Am I the only one? Yeah, we're going to have to make a shirt about that one. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to the first question of the night. And this always, because usually we get our regulars, right? But sometimes we get these like new guys. Who's E-Man? Mm-hmm. I don't know that guy, man.
Who that?
Who him?
Is a new fan?
I think he might be a new fan. You know, he's never heard of Throwdown, but you know, he is welcome. Anyway, welcome. He has a very pertinent question. This popped off today, or the news came up. I think the podcast was last night. David Jaffe starting trouble again in his podcast.
He's not really starting trouble,
or trouble starts because of his podcast. Although he did get into a back and forth with Jason Schreier and Jeff Grubb. Bochincha happened on Friday, you know. David Jaffe, because you know how he is. He's a bomb thrower, you know.
Doesn't give a shit. That's what it is, man. You don't need any. You don't need no Schreier.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. So this first question from E-Man: what do you think of recent comments made by Days Gone's former creative director, where he said, "If you love a game and want a sequel, you should buy it at fucking full price." His quote. Right. He did issue a clarification after that, though. He was basically saying that if you want a sequel to the games that you do like, that you have played, you got to buy them. Right. You know, that type of stuff. Set off a firestorm. Made sense. Set off a firestorm, you know. But let's go back a little bit before we move forward. Right. Days Gone came out. It sold well, very, very well afterwards. Right. But at launch, it was mired in technical difficulties, right? Like, you know, there was just bugs everywhere. Not as bad as Cyberpunk, but it was pretty fucking bad at launch, right? The game reviewed very low, and then even some people were like, you know, regular fans were like, this shit kind of looks like a weaker Last of Us. Why should I care? But what happened over time was, you know, word of mouth spread, like, hey, this game's actually pretty cool. The game's pretty cool. And they wanted to sell a ton of copies. But as we talked about last time, despite the fact that the game sold very well, Sony is not going to do a sequel for it because it didn't review well, you know? So he was just talking about that type of stuff, how Metacritic scores affect, you know, game sales, sequels, and all that other stuff. So, I mean, here's the thing. This guy clarified his comments, because I was ready to go in on his original comment, you know? Because I'm like, how the fuck? Even David Jaffe asked him this, right? Right after he said it, he's like, how the hell are you supposed to know you love a game if you haven't played it? So he had to go back and ask him, because it's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, putting the cart before the horse, like, doesn't work like that, bro. you know. Mm-hmm. But Manny, since you know this E-Man, I'm guessing, what's your take on this?
Well, the thing about it is, there is that part. It's like, how do you know? How would you know if you don't like a game, or how a game is if you don't, you know, know what's gonna, you know, just go buy it. But at the same time, he brings up a very good point about a lot of this, going and buying the actual game when it is actually prudent, when it's at a point when it actually matters. Because I'm going to say this, after we get all those sales, after it shows up on PlayStation Plus, after it shows up all those different places, it's already too late. Everybody's been fired already, or whatever you want to talk about. And I use this as the same situation I use within comics. It's like people constantly say, man, why did this book cancel? Why did this? Because you kept saying stuff like, oh, I'm going to wait until the price drops. Oh, I'm going to wait until the graphic novel comes out. Once that happens, it's already done. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you this, like inside industry shit, you know, when we lose one of our books, you know, they close it down at issue 8 because it's always at issue 8. Mm-hmm. We know by issue 5 the book is going. That's for any of the books that I have had that have ever been canceled. So I'm going to say that, like, you know, I know, understand, like, one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, you come out of the gate and your game is all messed up and all that stuff, and then after the fact everybody's like, man, this is not as bad as it was, as everyone was saying. It's already too late.
Well, it's already fixed by then too.
It's already fixed by then. But here's the thing, like, you know, one thing, you know, and this goes back to when we talk about, like, you know, like what just happened recently with GameStop, and we all keep saying this, money talks. Going on, you know, writing you're writing your name on a little list to say, hey, I want this game to come back, or yelling on Twitter, that doesn't do a damn thing. Nobody gives a shit about that. But you know what they do give a shit about? You throw money at something, and that GameStop thing showed you that. So, like, let's say for the sake of conversation, let's say every single person who's a big fan of Days Gone decided to buy that fucking game. Just droves, like as many people who pitched in to buy that to buy some stock in the GameStop, and literally to a point to where Sony started noticing. Maybe they might reconsider it. Who knows?
Yeah, but the thing is, the game did sell well. Like, if it was any other game, it would have gotten a sequel. But the fact that it reviewed so poorly is what affected it in the end. You know,
I mean, it's the same. It's the same situation that happened with the Order 1886 too. I mean, the game did very well.
Yeah, it did, actually. Time. Yeah, 5 million copies. About, I know, Days Gone sold more than that, but yeah, but it reviewed terribly. So, no sequel for you, you know?
No sequel to you. But the thing is, again, he does bring up a good point. It's like, yes, if it did review bad, but what if it was still continuing to make money? Maybe that means you can get a reconsideration of it. It's the same thing I think about when we talk about the different stores right now that are going to be closed. Obviously, the reason why they're closing down these things is because they're not generating the money that justifies their existence. But let's say for the sake of conversation, everybody turned on their old fucking PS3s or went on their Vitas and started ransacking those stores, picking up as many things as they can.
Yeah. All right.
Who knows?
Yeah, if you guys will permit me, I'm going to actually read his clarified comment because I do want to base it off of that, not the original thing. I'll read. It's like 5 tweets, so I'll go through it. This is what I said. If a game doesn't make money, it's probably not going to get a sequel. That's a financial, marketing, and business fact. I can't believe this is shocking news to some of you. Also, I wasn't even talking about Days Gone. I haven't been at Ben Studios in 2 years. I told Jaffe, I don't know what they're working on. I don't know the financials. I was talking about my personal experience about how piracy on the PSP hurt me financially. What I could see, what I could have added is that anything that doesn't make money doesn't get supported. Vita, anyone? Again, I have no knowledge of the financials here. It's just common sense. Have you seen a movie that you love but you didn't pay to see? Then wonder why I never got a sequel. So you do you. If you don't like a game, if it's buggy, if you listen to reviewers' opinions, if you think games cost so much, more power to you. Just don't buy it on sale a year later, discover you love it, then wonder why a sequel never got made. Also, I've said some controversial things in the past. This ain't one of them. If something isn't profitable, it isn't going to get a sequel. He's kind of right, though.
That's true.
He's right, though.
It's that's exactly true. Your wallets, right? If you don't like a game, you're bitching about, oh, they're ripping me off. They're just doing minor updates. Don't buy it, and then it won't come back.
Yeah. No, but there's a good point where, like, you know, you buy a game, like, a year later on sale, and you're like, why didn't they make a sequel to this? Because you didn't buy the first place, bro. You know, because
you weren't there. Because you weren't there to buy it from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
If you realize, if you somehow realize back then, like, hey, maybe this is something I might like. But you know, I think the one big problem, the one thing about this is, you know, there's a couple of different factors in this. Like, I was just say, like, gaming is probably the most dependent on reviews than any sort of media out
it
there.
It is. Well, think about it. Like bonuses and all this other shit is tied to Metacritic
score. But I mean, like Metacritic, the bonuses on the Metacritic score. But like people, like obviously, if the, you know, because I guess because games are so expensive, especially in, you know, in other countries, you know, they're a lot of money. Like in, like where Brian's from, you know, or in Canada, like, you know, obviously people want to kind of know what they're sort of getting into before they make a sort of investment like that.
Yeah.
Unlike in the movies where you could literally have a critically panned movie, like a lot of the old school action movies, you know, everybody's all those people, not even the Hulk, but I'm
by the way, you don't even need to go that far, by the way. Look at all the Transformers movie. They are critically panned and they sell gangbusters. You know?
They still do gangbusters. Yeah. You go like even like beloved things like Rambo. That shit also got panned by critics too. Exactly. They thought it was garbage. Same thing with RoboCop. They thought it was garbage.
Yeah, just how it is though.
They did well.
Yeah,
but I think that's also has to do with the how much you pay to get in. Right? It wasn't a lot of money. It's not a lot of money to go. Hey, let's like, hey, I want to see a movie. All right, let's go see this RoboCop movie.
Yeah,
you know. Unlike here, where unlike games, where it's like you have to make a actual thought about what you're actually getting into.
Yeah, Chris, what's your take, man?
I agree. I mean, this is true in every form of entertainment. Like, if movies underperform, I mean, the faster they get printed to DVD and Blu-ray and end up in the Walmart bargain bin, so the same fate befalls comics and games. Like you get graphic novels or compendiums and they don't sell well, and the faster they are to compile what's there and try to make some residual income, and then the same thing happens to games. So I see what Jaffe's saying, and I know he's very bitter and angry, and you can understand that. Yeah, I mean, PSP had rampant piracy. You know,
John Garvin, not David Jaffe. John Garvin said that stuff. Not
oh,
David Jaffe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay, so I mean, but you know, the point is still valid, and you can see where. But I mean, not all of that blame can be put on consumers now, because you'll have stuff going to Game Pass and PS Plus day one now, and that's the decision of the execs now, saying like, oh, people want this stuff discounted and we can just do discounts if you want.
Up front. Yeah, taking
yeah. They're taking a hit. So look at Oddworld Soulstorm. That's on PS Plus this month. It's launching on PlayStation Plus. You get it for free. So what does that say about that game? Or other third party games that go to Game Pass day one? I mean, if you have executives coddling that kind of you know, cultivating that kind of purchasing behavior or that kind of consumer culture, then you can't expect people to adopt I'm going to buy this game full price because I believe in this product. They're saying the opposite. They're saying like, hey, because you're in our ecosystem, we're going to give you this, you know? And then people are going to expect that going forward. So it's very hard. Like, he could preach to me, and I agree. I agree with what Manny said 100%. But the thing is, like, he doesn't have to just, you know, yelling at us is not going to mean anything. Not when you have Game Pass and PS Plus offering day one stuff.
It's an interesting thing, because once you remove that, because here's the thing. I'm going to say this, especially with a game like Soulstorm. I don't know if that game would actually have the heft these days as it did maybe years ago. You know, like, I don't know how well the last Oddworld game did, but I don't think it did amazing.
It did a remaster recently, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how well that did, but I think the one thing about it is that when you remove that, you know, the bar of entry, where you're saying, okay, now, you know, even Brett has said this before too, where he's like, he's ended up playing games that he would never think about playing. When you sort of remove that sort of thing, like, what that almost opens the door to it. But at the same time, not everybody could have those amazing deals, you know, like with somebody like Sony or any of these other things. We talk about a lot of the stuff, a lot of the shitty practices between, you know, Spotify and its musicians. Right. A lot of those, if you've ever, you know, not long ago, there was a talk about, and we talked a little about this before. Actually, no, we talked about this, Tony, we talked about this at that when I was up there in New York.
Yeah.
Where essentially, it's not Aretha Franklin. Patti LaBelle, right? She was actually breaking down what she actually gets for her music, and it's garbage.
Yeah. And Spotify. Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing. Yeah.
On Spotify. Like, and, you know, like, not every, you know, obviously, if you're somebody like the Beatles or something, like Spotify is going to give you a badass deal. You're going to get some really good money off of it. But everybody else, you're going to get a shit deal. So it's like, okay, now, you know, what's this way? Lauren Lanny makes this deal. Like, he's getting a good deal. But what about everybody else?
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Because, like, he probably got a good amount of money off of our world, the new one. But what about the other guys, you know?
Yeah.
They're not Lauren Lanning. Shit is crazy.
But, I mean, again, like, you know, you notice that, like, a lot of people seem to be doing this sort of PlayStation Plus day one sort of deal because it seems to have a really good effect on the actual games. Like, what was it? The first one, the Rocket League did it, and they blew up. The other one, the goofy game, the one that's like NXT,
Fall Guys.
Fall Guys, that thing blew up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just wild. Right.
Well, except for that other game, the whatever the hell that one was, the PlayStation 5 launch game. I can't remember what that one was.
Hey, there's Brett.
Brett debate.
So the clarification that he made on the tweets.
Yeah.
So he's not talking about Days Gone in those tweets, right?
No, he's not.
Then that makes sense. I mean, I like the shade towards the Vita though. He's like, they didn't support it because they made Golden Abyss.
Yeah, they did.
They did, which is a very good game.
Sony did support Vita for like 6 months. You know, that was about it.
They had those launch titles, and then they just sort of left it to the wayside. They're like, all right, you got this.
Kind of like how they do almost everything,
you know.
I can't really disagree with anything that he said, because, you know, it all makes sense. If a game is not, you know, doesn't sell well at the beginning when it has its biggest potential to make money, and it makes money off the back end when, you know, the prices are significantly reduced, or people play it in a service where it doesn't really make that much money, like those free PSN Plus games, then it makes sense why these types of games don't get a sequel.
Yeah.
At first, I kind of had an issue because I thought he was talking about Days Gone.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's why I said that he did the clarification. I was ready to go in. I'm like, bro, there's a reason that fucking game didn't sell that well in the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he wasn't specifically talking about Days Gone. So if you take it out of context, he's 100% right. You know, games don't sell in the beginning, particularly that first week. That's it. You're done. You know, it doesn't fucking matter if people buy your shit on sale a year or two later. You're done. You know, that's just how things work.
You know, and then you hear those situations where, like, oh, we closed down the so and so studio not long after they released this game.
Yep.
You know,
it didn't sell. Those first few weeks really matter. You know,
it's such a weird idea.
It brings up something too. It's like whenever over at the Coalition we'll get certain games. Like I did the review for Republic Commando, and they sent it like a few days after the release and stuff. And they were like, "Hey, just as long as you get it within the first few weeks, you know, because they want to keep the conversation going. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not the first day, hey, at least next week. So if people just bypass it, like you said, that first week matters. If it goes out, if people at least still keep talking about it in a review, and sure enough, they liked it, they retweet it. Look, someone else is talking about this shit, you know, a week later. Come on, keep the ball rolling. You know, it's that type of event.
No, you're 100% right. But the thing is, there's also a shelf life for that, too, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, they said within that month. After that month, that's it.
Yeah, they don't care anymore. Obviously, different games are different. Like, Fall Guys, that lasted a long time. You know, and mostly, like, kind of service-y games like that last a while. But generally speaking, a game has about a month of lifespan. And that's it. Nobody cares anymore, you know?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Move on.
That's just how it is. That's why, because some people even ask, like, oh, Tony, how come you're not going to review this game? I'm like, it's a month old. No one cares anymore.
You know? And then we've talked about this before, that crazy time, once we get around October, November, that window is fucking packed.
Jesus.
Why even bother? Why bother releasing if you know you're going against all the Call of Duties that always come out, all the sport games that come out? You know, why? I don't understand that.
Well, we see that every year, though. Like,
yeah, every year.
But games also move, and then you have fucking February being all like jam packed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they're trying to avoid Call of Duties and all these other games and stuff. Then they're all coming out in February. It's the same. I'm like, just spread the shit out. People are going to buy games regardless, you know? Yeah. This isn't the fucking 1980s. You know?
For a long time, they wouldn't release games in the summer.
They wouldn't.
It was like a drought. And then slowly they started saying, oh, wow, people actually buy games in the summer? Of course they do. Not everybody wants to go outside.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima came out in August, sold 5 million. Because who's gonna throw? You know, this Ghost of Tsushima game looks good, but it's August. I'm not going to buy that. No one's going to say that. You know, that's stupid.
That game is dumb. A good game. A good movie is a good movie. People still go to the movies when it's summertime. They'll say, what? I'm going to the beach. No, they still fucking go to the movies.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's an example of you know an old trend that's just kind of vestigial at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started back when we were kids, when they had the whole mindset of like, well, it's summertime, kids aren't going to buy video games, and kids are our biggest audience.
Yeah,
and you know, 25 years later, they're still saying the same shit, even though it's not true.
Yeah,
it was kind of true at one time. Like, yeah, we did go outside there. You ran the risk of selling less.
They all go to camp in the summer. What do you mean?
Yeah, not because they even go out anymore, you know, because of pedophiles and shit.
Exactly. They want to go get them. Dude, I said that summer camp. Come on now.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, well, but the real thing is it's adults, Brett. You know, it's because adults are gamers now, you know?
We don't give a shit what the weather is outside.
Yeah, exactly. Again, and we get proven this every single year when a game comes out in July, August blows up, like, wow, this game did amazing for the summer. I'm like, because people buy games. You know, come on, man. Fuck out of here with that shit.
Also, it's fucking August. Like, it's hot as balls outside. Like, do you think everyone's, like, chilling out in the heat, sweating their dick off? No. You know, people run inside and, like, sit next to the air conditioner and play video games. That was one of the times when you are almost locked inside because it's so sweltering hot out. And all you want to do is sit inside in the air conditioning and play video games. It was definitely a fucking market for it. Tell me you haven't done that.
No, of course. It's like, I mean, too fucking hot outside. I'm going to my room staying with the AC on. That's it.
Well, not only that, when I was a kid, summers, I used to go outside. It was bearable. Now I go outside during the summer, I'm fucking burning.
Yeah. That's because you're old now.
Yeah. So when you're a kid, the weather doesn't affect you. I remember when I was a kid, cold didn't bother me, nothing.
Weather out there.
Yep. You're impervious to when you're a kid, you know?
Like, no, man, you're a kid, you're like running around, like you didn't drink any water for like 3 days.
You know? Like, man, where you get that energy?
That's
from?
Okay. You can just grab a drink from the hose.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Yeah,
drink from the hose.
Yeah, let's move on. This next question is related.
He's like, all right, everybody, shut up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, shut up.
All right, let's move on, man. Because we could talk about this for a while, but this next question is still related, though. This is from Tumeke. He got his question in real late, right at the cutoff point. You know, I allowed it. I shut the studio off. Like, oh fuck, I missed him. Like, no, get in, let's go, man. Because he's a lifer, man. Got to give respect, you know. And it's always shout out to New Zealand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
All right. He says, what are your thoughts on the whole Metacritic score heavily influencing whether a sequel is made or not? Tied with the previous question, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's bullshit because I think a game's sales should determine it, right? Like, even with Days Gone, right? Like, okay, the Metacritic score sucked on it, but it sold a lot eventually. Maybe people want to buy this shit, you know? So that's what I think. Metacritic scores in general should not determine the game's success. This should be how much fucking money it makes, you know? That's what should determine it, you know?
I definitely agree with that. Here's the thing. The specific game creator actually did talk about focus groups. Both of the directors of Days Gone talked about focus groups, and he said the one thing that he actually said that they split reviews was exactly what they got because what happens obviously in the industry. I'm not sure, we talked about this before, but sometimes game studios will hire prominent game reviewers to write what is called a mock review. which is essentially they give you the game. They give them the game to try to get a idea of the type of things that they would sort of get.
Yep.
To try to gauge, you know, how the reception of what it's going to get, you know. But so
full disclosure, I've written one.
So, oh yeah, that does happen. I didn't want to blow up your.
No,
spot,
I'll say it. I've done a mock review basically because they saw my actual review for the game that I did, and they were doing like a big patch and stuff. So they liked what I wrote. They knew I understood the game. Like, hey, you want to do a mock review? And I did it. So yeah, that happens. You have professional industry people doing these type of reviews, and then also get just regular gamers too. You know, they try to get as much information as possible. You know.
Yeah. So like Dave's gone. They found that even that they were getting split reviews, kind of like what kind of happened with the game.
Yeah.
You know, we had like a split down the middle. People utterly hated it or, you know, kind of liked it.
Adam, what were you going to say about the Metacritic?
Just like that. Just forget that, but just do the focus groups or, like, remember, I'm always getting emails. When you sign up for these games, especially like Ubisoft, they're known for doing this, and EA actually does this too. When you go and you sign into whatever these services are and you get these games and it says, hey, can we put you on a mailing list? It's not just to spam you. They know what game you're playing. They know your profile, how you're progressing. They'll even send you notifications. Hey, you put in some amount of time. And then occasionally they will send you a questionnaire, a survey. It's like, hey, we noticed you put in X amount of hours. What did you think? What's your issues? What's your positives, your negatives? And I think that's the best way to do it, because then this is that already established install base of your product. So what do they want to see if you can make changes for the next one, for the sequel? And I would think if there's a large enough people where they're like, yeah, I would be interested in a sequel if you would change this, that, you know, then that would help out. I don't know if they did that for Days Gone. I played it. I didn't get any damn email. But then again, I didn't like the game. But, I don't know if they even had a system like that in place. So that way they can do it. I know Ubisoft, and like I said, EA and stuff, I get them all the time, but I don't know if they did that. And if they did do a focus group, did they get, YouTubers, or did they get people from the community that play the game, like Twitch?
They usually do, even Jaffe talked about it too, where they have that sort of thing, system already in place where they sort of get a range of different people to sort of, especially if it's a game that they do know that is going to be, they don't exactly know what the outcome will be. Usually they're sort of pretty sure about a lot of it. You know, it's probably why a lot of times, you know, when Tony sometimes will talk about, yeah, man, I got this thing or month in advance to do my review, is because because of all of the mock reviews and stuff like that they did. And the focus testing also said, oh, hey, this is going to be good.
Well, that was like the God of War. They sent that shit early. Mm-hmm. They knew it was going to be a hot game.
Spider-Man as well, Horizon. I got both of those games, all three of those games, really early, like three weeks beforehand. It's like, all right, you know. And here's the thing. So I got the game, like, for example, Horizon. No, not Horizon. So Spider-Man is a better example. They sent me that like 2 or 3 weeks before it launched, right? But the embargo lifted a week afterwards, 2 weeks before launch. If the reviews drop 2 weeks before launch, you already know. They're confident in that shit. The craziest one I saw was like Uncharted 2. It was like 3 weeks beforehand. You're like, oh shit. And obviously that game went on to be, you know, one of the GOATs, you know, of all time. But yeah, it's pretty interesting how it works. But also conversely though, you get that review like a day before launch. You're like, all right, bro. I see what's going on here.
Or like with a certain cyber game where they literally, they drop it, or they have you do the reviews, but you're not allowed to talk about certain aspects of the game.
Yeah, man.
I think there's only one game that goes against the grain on that whole process, and that was Doom 2016. Because remember, they didn't send any reviews out.
That's Bethesda's new policy, though.
But that's what the big concern, though, because that was a big title. We're like, oh shit, remember? And they had the delays that. But like, oh, that means this is going to suck. And it didn't.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But that case is a little different just because of Bethesda's policy overall, you know? By the way, insider shit, though, when that happens to me, like, let's say, I'm just keeping it real. I got the fucking baseball game. A day before launch, I'm like, you guys will get that review when it's ready, bro.
It's too close.
You know? No, it's too close. It's too, like, a day before, bro. Really? No. Fuck out of here, man. You know, I'm gonna give you that review soon, you know? Just know that when that happens, I'm like, I'm taking my sweet time with this. But with God of War, bro, that and Spider-Man, I killed those games in 3 days. Because I got them on Friday. And with Spider-Man, your boy, I got the platinum in 3 days, you know? because I wanted to be prideful in that. You know, you could see it. Like the game dropped on like September something. I got that platinum in August, son. You know. Anyway, because the gamer don't stop, man. All right.
He can't stop. Won't stop.
Yeah. All right. So we don't need to go more into the Metacritic's where I think, you know, whatever. All right. Moving on. Another question by Dumek.
Evil.
Is there any game that, but it's still related. Is there any game that didn't turn out well and never got a sequel that you wish had gotten a sequel? So what's a one and done? You know.
Oh, I got a bunch of those.
Yeah, go ahead, Adam. Skate.
No, Skate got a bunch.
Oh, no, your fucking the ping pong game you like.
Yeah, my Rockstar Table Tennis. Holy shit, I love that game till the man, off camera, that's one of the main reasons why I'm over here talking to a certain someone in this room, finding out they want to sell one of their consoles just so I can keep playing that fucking game. Damn. You know, because my other shit is getting kind of old and having some issues. But damn, I love that fucking that game. And also Mark Echoes Getting Up. I loved Mark Echoes Getting Up. That was an awesome game. That was, you're doing graffiti, you're tagging, but it also felt like Assassin's Creed, and you're in an urban environment. Some really cool set pieces in that where you're jumping from trains and stuff. It was cool, and it never came out. We never got another one. I was hoping at least somebody else would pick it up. I'm like, damn, this got Ubisoft written all over it, and nope, they didn't get involved. And that was it. So those are my two right there. Those are the ones that jump out.
Man, you got another one besides The Order?
Games that I really liked that I felt like needed a sequel.
Or that you feel should have gotten a sequel.
I'm blanking on it, right? You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you gave your answer.
I'll give you one thing. Just say Rockstar Table Tennis and we'll move on to that. Two of them damn fucking table tennis.
That's funny. Now, you gave your answer to Order 1886.
Yeah, I feel like the Order 18, because, you know, one of the thing about the Order is that it sort of leaves you off at a point where you're just like, oh, what's gonna happen next? We just started. You just cut it off right there. It's like that point.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I wouldn't say that for a game like Death Stranding. Like, I don't need another Death Stranding. I think it kind of nipped itself up right good at the end and we're good to go. So, yeah.
Yeah. And these are games that just were not received well, I guess.
Death Stranding was received well, but Order 1886 was definitely not.
You know? Yeah. Oh, Kristen says L.A. Noir. Heavily.
That was another
one. You know, I could go with another character. I don't need to do Cole. I could go with another sort of the same sort of idea, but with a different character.
Well, that dude died. He died. So they would have to go in.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
If we did prequel Cole, or, you know, did the, because, you know, there's a bunch of years that pass in between you doing those stories, right? You could literally do more cases in there. But yeah, I wouldn't do Cole. And I definitely wouldn't have that motherfucker doing weird shit when I'm not playing the game.
Yeah, it's like, what would you do on your time, bro? You know? I control you, bro.
If they did like a Grand Theft Auto version where there's different characters that you play, and one could be a good cop, another one could be a corrupt cop, another one could be like a rookie cop, and you can just try to figure out and you build them up in the way you want. Like, oh, you're going to make certain calls. Are you going to bust this guy? Or you think he's innocent? Maybe you're not. Fuck it, I'm framing him. Boom, plant, sprinkle a little crack on him. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, shit.
Adam, have you played Disco Elysium?
No, it wasn't allowed. Is it good?
It's pretty much what you're talking about.
I need to play this.
Yeah, it's a noir game where you, I'm going to play it. I haven't started it yet, but I guess it's, you've got up to like 16 to 20 different kind of internal narrative voices based off of different aspects of the mind. So you can
just go Elysium.
Yeah. So you can like build those up, and basically the narration will point out different things to you as you're a detective solving a missing crime of a missing girl or something like that. I didn't dig too far because I'm like, this looks really good, but it's like a point and click adventure detective noir game.
Point and click. All right. I'll check this out.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. You too, Manny.
All right, Heavenly Sword, that's another one, you know.
It's funny, I never actually played that one.
Great game.
Oh, yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah, that's a great one. I get it, because it's got to be, because I was going to give a, it's an actual answer, but the first game did very, very well. But even though I'm like, yo, where's that sequel at, bro? Manny, go ahead.
Enslaved.
Oh, that's a good one. There you go. I'll give my real answer in a bit, but I wanted to say Bloodborne. Where's that fucking sequel prep? You know? My answer is
something. Enslaved based off of books? Wasn't it books?
No, not Bloodborne, no.
No. Enslaved. Enslaved.
No, it was based off Odyssey to the West.
Based off of Journey to the West. Journey to the West.
Yeah, Journey to the West.
It's like a retelling of it.
Yeah. My answer is Sunset Overdrive. That game was dope. Nobody on Xbox bought it, you know, because they didn't.
I bought it. Yeah. I played it four times.
They didn't fucking buy it. You know?
That was enough.
And also, GCDR wrote a bunch of them here. Quantum Break 2. I don't know about Quantum Break. I think One and Done is good enough. Rise of the Rome, man. Super Lucky's Tale. Yo, he's trolling right now.
Super Lucky's Tale. Didn't that get a sequel?
I think it was a sequel. I don't know. All right, anyway.
But there was the one.
No, the studio VR one. Down.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
It's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
Absolver.
All right, there you go, Brett. Oh, you were next, too. All right, Absolver for you. Brian.
Oh. See, I'm really tempted to, like, troll, but I was like, no, I won't. I'll be serious. Either Binary Domain or Vanquish.
Oh, shit.
Vanquish.
Yes.
Did Vanquish get badly reviewed?
No, people liked it. The game sold well and it reviewed well, you know? I got another troll one, even though it's like also troll but real. Burnout Paradise 2. EA. You know?
anything from Burnout. Just make any Burnout.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. All right, Chris, what about you, man?
I kind of like Dying Light. And I wanted a sequel. be nice if we had one of those.
You know, I previewed that game at E3 3 years ago. And it just disappeared.
It's coming.
You want to
show the trailer for it.
That is in the limbo with Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah.
It got absorbed into this void where we got teased with it years ago. And what that shit is.
The thing is, the shit I saw was a complete game. I'm like, it was supposed to come out that year, 2018. It was so odd.
I hear that game has a lot of development issues.
Because
remember that crazy shit that they were going to do, where you control the how the city grows.
That's
and
right.
All kinds of other things. Like, yeah. Maybe they're having some sort of funky issues with getting that shit to work.
Don't put that shit on last gen. Then focus on.
Oh yeah. Don't be cyberpunk, you know. All right.
You know.
Fair enough.
Don't be bugging people.
Yeah, I remember when because the press room for that game had like a bunch of like the helpers were zombies and shit, so they would just be grabbing on you and shit, and you were walking into a quarantine area. That shit was dope.
Didn't we just hear last week that they're gonna add some Resident Evil content to it?
To Dying Light?
No, that's Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight.
It's Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, you're confusing them.
Dying Light is the parkour one.
No, I know it's a parkour. Yeah, I know it's the crappy one where all the fucking weapons break up. It was cool with the co-op, though.
No, I think it was dope, man.
It was
alright. I liked it even though it was a zombie game. It was a lot of fun. I played with Chris and Brad. This shit was dope. All right.
But we can keep going.
Yeah, let's move on, man. Next question. This is from Mob Hits.
Mine is Friday the 13th for NES.
Oh, I forgot about you, Carlos, man.
Fuck you.
There you go, forgot.
Friday you know 13th, what's fucked huh? up about that, Carlos? It's the rights. The there's been a battle for the rights between the two creators, between Sean Cunningham and Victor.
Oh, really?
The other game got pulled because of that.
Yeah, so the Sean Cunningham was the one who okayed it. He was okay with the license. He lost the last case, and the other guy pulled it. He's like, no, you can't make this game anymore.
No sequel for you.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing about it. It's like, why the fuck is he holding on to that shit anyway? Like, number one, you'll be making fun. You're going to be making a licensing off of the fucking game.
Right. So one guy was cool with it. That's how the game got made. And the other guy, he just fucking killed all that shit.
It's like the writer and then the director.
He killed a movie too. Like he killed that. Paramount was going to do another movie. Nah, he said no.
Yeah. He's just being spiteful, like that motherfucker who had that James Bond movie, a Thunderball, that asshole.
Oh yeah, sorry. Never Say Never Again. Now that
happened. Yeah, he only had the rights because he essentially had helped to write Thunderball or what's his face wrote a part. You know, he based it off of some of that script that was being written for that thing. So that meant that he owned a portion of it. So that meant that he was in control of the fucking script. So then, yeah, come on, guys. Get over it. Make some fucking money. Shut up.
Shut up and make money.
Shut up and make some money.
It was like the guy who had the script for The Last Starfighter. Like, for the longest, they wanted to make a sequel or a remake, and he was like, no. But then recently, one of the guys from Kind of Funny, I forgot his name, who also did the Star Wars, he's working
on it. Greg Miller.
Hey. Greg Miller. The old British dude that writes, and he wrote Rogue One and something else. He's now.
Greg Whitta.
Yeah, Whitta. He confirmed that he's finally.
Gary Whitta.
Gary Whitta. They're working on it now. So I don't know if it's a remake or a sequel, but he said they worked out a deal. So we're finally.
Yeah, dude, make it. There you go, brother. Gunstar Heroes needs a fucking sequel. You know. Anyway, we're getting off track now. So this
Guitar Hero. Yeah. Guitar Hero.
Yeah, Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, Gunstar.
Yeah.
Again, not a game that was badly.
No, it wasn't. Treasure, yeah. Man. Treasure was a treasure.
All right, mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Former Konami guys.
Yep. Mob hits. All right. What timeline, realistically, would you give developers to stop making any type of development on last-gen platforms and focus solely on this generation? I understand there haven't been any consoles available because of scalpers, but you don't necessarily need one if you're buying it on services like Game Pass. So he's just asking, when are we going to start seeing nothing but next-gen games? 2023.
Yeah. Oh, remember the news with the shortage.
Tony, what's up, bro?
With the parts.
Can I just take a moment to point out that last generation, we were like, there are no fucking games for like 2 goddamn years. How could this be any worse? And then this generation, there's no games for 2 goddamn years, and there's not systems for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty bad, man.
I have to say this is objectively the worst console launch I've ever seen.
Yeah, we said that. We all said that.
I gotta agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Without a doubt, the worst console launch of all time, man. Without a doubt.
It's definitely like the worst I've been a part of.
Look, I gotta shout out Carlos. Carlos shouts out Fergus Mills because of getting a fucking PS5 in the first place. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm glad we got a PS5 so we could play Monster Hunter, you know?
Yeah, right?
you're the real MVP, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's
shout out to Chris for Last Man Demon Souls.
No shit. Oh, the cheat code.
But I blame him for sacrilegious.
You guys are gonna like this. I spend for the most part, my PlayStation is used to play Fallout 76.
Yo, but it runs better, don't it?
It runs good now, right?
Yeah, man.
It does. It runs smooth like butter.
You know. Hey, it was worth it to you to play your favorite game, man. You know. We talked about this. We're going to get 2023. That's when it's going to happen, you know?
I hate to say that. Like, here's my thing. Like, yes, that's the realistic answer. There is a small sliver option of, like, they could see how much people are disliking this idea that they're not going to have fucking games when, you know, everybody finally gets around the scalpers and finally gets their PlayStation 5. They're not going to necessarily be super fucking happy when they realize that they went through all this effort and they're still kind of... I mean, there'll be the short honeymoon period, and they'll be like, oh, well, okay. I mean, I'm glad I got mine at launch. Don't get me wrong. But, like, if I were battling, you know, through the thick of it, and I didn't have Carlos to have my back, like, I don't know that I would be thinking that the reward was worth it. And I think once you finally get those systems out to the masses, they're going to start clamoring for games. And there's a small chance that Sony may, you know, try and push things like that, but yeah, for the most part, in the development cycle, you're 2023.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
I say that a lot, I'm like, you can't put 9 women in a room and make a baby in a month. So yeah, no, they're kind of locked into it.
Yeah, 2023. Realistically, I'm just basing it off of last gen. That's how long it took. 2 years. You know. Oh,
yeah.
I expect it again, especially now. It may be even worse now with all these delays because nobody wants to be the next Cyberpunk. You know,
dude.
Yeah,
I feel like there are several games in development that would just do well to pivot from being a multi, you know, PS4, PS5, just committing to PS5 and pushing their games graphics.
I agree. But, you know, they're still trying to make games for the old shits, unfortunately. I'll talk about this later when we talk about the Resident Evil 8 demo, because I'm like, yo, what's with this these last-gen ass textures? But, you know, we'll get to that later on. But again, we don't need to go to... We've discussed this at length before. 2023 is the realistic time. You could see. All right. Moving on here. Next question for Mr. Mob Hits. With a huge war chest and Microsoft and Amazon buying everything up, could Amazon or Microsoft end the console industry? It's an interesting question.
But who's playing anything on fucking Amazon?
Yeah, right. I mean, Luna, you know.
Didn't they just put a game back in the fucking oven because it was doing
Lord
shit?
Of the Rings? Lord of
the Rings. No. They didn't put the game back in the oven. They canceled that shit after it had already launched. Right?
Yeah.
I forgot. That shit was so funny because I reviewed the game, right? Then literally a week after my review came out, they removed half the features I talked about. And then 2 weeks after that, we're canceling the game. Like, what the fuck? So weird, you know?
Go ahead, Manny.
No. Go ahead.
No. After you, I've been interrupting you all night.
Oh, have you? I mean, here's the thing. It's like they don't even again. It's them dipping their toes into a market that they don't fucking understand. They're literally trying to, you know, like, okay, the, number one, they're trying to get you to go over to their service or get gamers to go sit on there. Who even wants to go to fucking Amazon for fucking gaming? Really?
Yeah.
It's not like you're running a goddamn video on your thing. Like, oh, hey, look, it runs video, so I guess I'll watch some of these free movies on Amazon Prime. Great. Does work like that with games.
Yeah, but to the question, go ahead, Brett. It's your turn now.
Oh, Amazon is not a real contender. This question is a little trolly, but like Amazon's not even a real contender, nor are they going to be. And despite Microsoft's move to become a service, they're going to maintain being a platform no matter what. No matter what happens, if all three companies are like, I'm going to become a service, we're still going to see factions develop over hardware. No matter what the service is, you still need access to it. And that physical portal is always going to be an industry. So no, consoles will never be. You can kill all the consoles and new ones will rise up, or everybody will, or, you know, the war between AMD and Intel will rise up, and, you know, people will be fucking Alienware Steam boxes and shit like that. Like, I don't know, the situation may get weird, but there's always going to be people vying for the ability to sell you a piece of hardware that connects you to your gaming service or your gaming console or your library or whatever. So no, nothing can honestly kill consoles. That's my opinion. I'm done.
Okay. Can I just jump in like really quickly? Because I have something that is a bit, it's slightly spicy.
Oh, is it controversial?
Is it very controversial?
Just take what Manny and Brett just said and imagine that they were the CEO of Blockbuster. You know, like, no one's going to Amazon for this. Like, I'm pretty sure that there were tons of people that are like, oh, Amazon sells books. No one's going to Amazon to buy other stuff that's not books.
Yeah, because Amazon doesn't
That's the scary
hardware.
Thing.
Yeah.
Go back like 10 years. Oh, Amazon just offers books. No one wants to go to Amazon to buy TVs or like nonsense stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there are tons of people that said that, and that's the scary thing. I'm not saying that it will happen.
But Brian,
I'm just saying that it's a scary thought. We had similar thoughts in the past, and I'm not going to put it past them. That's all.
Brian, I'm going to say this.
Wait, hold on. Let Carlos go first. He was already talking.
You interrupted me, man?
Yeah, y'all interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
I was going to make a joke, but it's not going to land as much. But I was just going to say, Brian, you telling me that people are going to buy TVs off of Amazon and not Circuit City?
No.
You know?
But the thing about it, I think products and selling actual products and services are two different things. And I think that they're sort of stepping into a location that they don't fully understand. And it's the same thing we're seeing with Google. They're both trying to dip their toe into this environment where they're not really, who are they? You wonder who the audience that they're looking for. Are they looking for mom and dad who just so happen to be, you know, twitching, going through this thing? But then they're not going to play some online multiplayer game. They don't give a shit about a lot of that stuff. So who are you looking for? Are you looking for us? Well, gamers are not going to go over to something like an Amazon or a Google for gaming when they can have a better experience on a PC or on something else. Mm.
True, but then again, if they get the next generation of people that are like 10 years old, 15 years old now, like they've grown up with that as a a thing. Like, they are used to it. Like, to them, that's how you watch films. Oh, you stream off Netflix. You know, you go to Amazon to get everything. Like, oh, Amazon now has games. Oh, great. You know, if Amazon just like bundles it in with Prime, then it's like, oh, cool. I get my Prime and I get everything from Amazon, and now I get games from Amazon. You know, life is easier.
Hold on a second. Brian, are you actually advocating there's no brand whores in the PC space?
The PC space is different. PC space is...
PC space is all going into Steam, which is a service, but using different hardware to get there. And you have entire forums arguing with each other about it. That's my point. You could all be playing into the exact same service. You're still going to have different hardware brands. You're still going to have a war between the physical machine that runs your games and gets you to that
Nvidia versus AMD, son. You know, yep. It's that type of shit. You see it all the time, man. You know? People always fractionalize, you know?
Fractionalize.
Yep.
The hardware, though. Is Brian saying that Amazon would make the hardware as well, or just the service?
No, they'll just have the service.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter what hardware they're using. Everyone can use that service.
Yeah, because if everyone's using the Amazon service, then it doesn't matter what the hardware is behind the scenes. And that's the thing that really irks me. It's like, this is a potential future that we could go down the road of, and I don't like it.
Again, I got to argue with that, Brian. Like, that's only if everybody is on the exact same platform, all streaming games with no local processing support, right? Like, PC gamers are not going to accept being put on the same level as everybody else. So if you can have a game that you buy, load on your SSD, and then it supplements that streaming service, you're going to do that. And then you're going to have fights about who has the best hardware, and you're going to have competition there. You're never going to get to a place where everybody is subscribing to the same service with the same hardware and getting the same results. You're just not going to. Some people are going to want, you know, more robust networking cards to take advantage of more speed so they can download faster. Some people are going to want SSDs so they can partially download the game onto their system or whatever hardware they're using. Like, I understand what you're saying, but that reality is a reality that's never going to happen, because streaming service is never going to give you a perfect experience without additional hardware to help support it. So, yeah, like, everybody could be streaming on the same service, yes. If we're talking about that, yeah, everybody can be cutting into the same portal. But even then, you're still going to have hardware competition, which is why I say consoles aren't really going anywhere. Everybody can play Steam, and everybody can have a Steam box, and then you're going to have people vying for, you know, vying with different Steam boxes or whatever. You're always going to have hardware competition, even if you're plugging into the same service.
Where's the Steam boxes anyway?
Yeah, those things are gone.
You know? Give me a Steam box.
All right, move on. Next question. This one is from Black Mage. This is the eternal question.
Uh-oh.
One of gaming's biggest conundrums in regards the most popular superhero of all time, the first superhero. It's been
Saitama?
Saitama. It's been 15 years since the last standalone Superman game. How would this new game be executed? What features will this game have, and which studio should take on the task? All right, I've said this. I mean, I've even written two editorials for two different sites about this. So just up front, Superman, my favorite character of all time, superhero. I love the guy. He doesn't work as a video game character, and this is why. If you make him as powerful as he's supposed to be, he's gonna be OP. It's like the wind, but it's like having Chris play Dark Souls with Demon Souls with you. You're just gonna steamroll through everybody. No challenge, unless the whole game is composed of like boss battles and shit, right? Conversely, and this is what has happened in every Superman game, they weaken him, and you're like, you don't even feel like Superman because some thugs would take you out. So it's an eternal conundrum. But I remember, because we kind of answered this a long time ago, I said maybe the best way of doing a Superman game is kind of like some Telltale shit, you know, like some kind of point and click thing, solving problems like without having to use your might or whatever. That may be the only it. But yeah, again, my favorite superhero, he doesn't work as a video game character. He's too fucking OP. It doesn't fucking work. You know, it's not like Batman. It's like a regular guy with all these crazy gadgets and shit. We can have multiple gameplay styles. Batman is the epitome of a perfect video game character. Superman is not.
because he can get better, like he can get into better gadgets or, you know, new abilities, you know, based off of the things that he's in. But yeah, for Superman, it's like, okay, yeah, he's Superman. He can pretty much do anything. But even like, I go back to like the Superman animated series by Bruce Timm, right? That one, even they brought down Superman's abilities.
Yeah.
To try to create that sort of drama between the storylines, because it's like, if you have a guy who can do anything, you know,
yeah,
and there's no real challenge.
And the things that can provide him a challenge won't be good for video game. And I'm not talking about like physical, I'm talking about how is Superman challenged in everyday life? Like, you know, he maybe can't get along with people because he's a fucking alien or something. That doesn't work in a video game. You know what I'm saying? So little things like that. So Superman, sorry, doesn't work as a game character. So.
Here's an interesting thing. You have characters like Goku who are arguably about as powerful or more powerful
than Superman. They dumb him down in the games, though. Krillin's could beat him up in a game. They dumb him down. You know?
Oh yeah, he can beat him. Like, yeah, Yamcha can beat up
Goku.
Goku in the fighting game.
Yep.
That's because you have other metahuman. I think it's kind of a sliding scale, man. Like, if you have other metahumans, then you might have somebody who, you know, comes to that strength, like Doomsday to Superman. But if you have just a Superman, like Superman exists in a vacuum most of the time. And they're, you know, he is so strong that it's, you know, that's his hallmark. That's his trademark, because he's the strongest. So, like, you really can't have a lot of people fighting against him. But, you know, take My Hero Academia, right? Like, All Might has way more chance. Yeah, I'm getting super nerdy here. It doesn't seem as impervious as Superman, right? All Might would be more playable as a character than Superman, even though they're analogous.
Yeah, because the problem is like, okay, because in most video games, what do you have? What are you mostly fighting against in most video games? You're fighting against like waves and waves of like kind of weaker enemies. Superman can steamroll through all those guys. The only way the game could kind of work is if it's nothing but boss battles, where you have like guys like Darkseid or Doomsday that are actually stronger than Superman. But, you know, that's have to really work hard for that.
Well,
you know?
I see the problem with that too, because if you scale up all the, if you just have Superman fight the rogues gallery that is equivalent to him, like if he fights Zod and Doomsday and all this stuff, then what's the difference between Batman fighting thugs? Then you just have a regular guy beating up other regular guys, you know?
Exactly. And if you try to do contrived things like, oh, the sun has turned red, Superman's weak, then you're like, I want to play as real Superman, not this weak motherfucker, you know?
So, well, I feel like there's a balance, though. I think you can give people that sort of flying ability and a couple of the other things in there, and then also sort of fuck around with the regular thugs, right? Okay, what if the regular thugs were a little bit more power, like more, they're more powerful than, you know, like, in other words, I'm thinking of the idea of like sort of Gravity Rush, right? You know, same, like there's things that she could easily just whip their asses instantly, right? But then there's things that she has more issues with.
Yeah.
So I think you can sort of do one, but you'd have to make sure that the regular sort of thug things that he fights have to be at sort of an equal level or a little bit lower than him.
That's going to have to be some contrived stuff. Because think about it, you know, if regular Superman, you throw 500 regular humans at him, he's going to kill all of them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so what was everybody just running around with like fucking kryptonite suits or something? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
you'd
have to contrive something to make the excuse. In other words, the reason why Superman can't, you know, he's having trouble with all these guys is that, yeah, somehow they have kryptonite suits or they're characters that are almost exactly as powerful as Superman. But then there's that question. It's like, okay, if you're ultra powerful as Superman, why are you bothering with Metropolis? Go over to fucking Gotham City.
And yeah, very good.
I think to make that kind of game work, you'd have to. So I would say keep Superman as is and don't give him a life bar or anything. He's Superman.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, Superman should have a life bar.
What has the life bar, what is the stuff around him, right? Like, he wants to prevent Metropolis from being destroyed. He wants to prevent people from dying.
Chris, I got to cut you off. The last Superman game, it was the Brandon Roth one, Metropolis had a life bar. So they did that already.
Oh, they did that. Yeah, that game
wasn't so good, but that movie sucked. So if you follow that shit, you know.
Yeah, but you're right. But they say it's like Superman can't be killed, but Metropolis could get killed.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it would stop you from doing being an asshole. But then again, it also breaks apart from the open world thing, where as Batman, you could literally just start beating up a fire hydrant or something.
Yeah.
You know.
You can put a life bar on the sun. You're like, all right, approximately 5 billion years until the sun goes supernova. Right.
Well, I mean, I would do it more like Dead Rising did it with saving the survivors, like where Frank West had to get the survivors to safe rooms and things like that, or get them the zombie drug before they turned. Like, think you need something like that. Like, you would be doing things for others, but like you yourself, but couldn't be stopped. But you'd have to throw big things, like, oh, some kaiju popped out. Okay, I'm Superman. I'm gonna stop it. But he already stepped onto land, so I have to hurry up. I have to get out of the Daily Planet. I have to go fly there and hit it with something to stop it before it crumbles every building in the city.
Yeah,
and that could be interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Yo, by the way, I don't like the Chris analogy.
The Chris analogy. The whole,
yeah, it's like playing a Superman game is like playing like with Chris and Dark and Demon Souls.
Yeah, you know.
Chris might be good, but he's not good at telling you where holes are in the game.
I lost Carlos. Well, I was telling you, I said, hey, we gotta wait for this elevator to calm down. You came running in.
like Leroy Jenkins.
I just Leroy Jenkins that shit. That's I saw Chris standing. I'm like, I guess Chris just like is chilling a little bit. Let me go ahead.
Yeah, you just learned a hard lesson.
You know,
yo, man, I lost all my souls. I got them back though. Like, we're good.
He's like, Chris is like, you must be patient.
Yeah, and then I got you to the top of the tower, and you actually got a player character as the Bugle Hat, and then I just slapped that guy around. I didn't expect that either. I'm like, oh, he might actually be a challenge. I just smacked him around.
I kept being the. I had to stop being the Bugle Hat. I just started feeling abusive.
Oh, yo, Brett, I cast anti-magic. Yeah. I mean, but you know what you're doing. You cast a lot of magic. I cast anti-magic before I walked in that room. He had to use a sword.
I was killing people in like 4 seconds with that S-Doc. Just materialize, wait for him to come in, stab him 7 times, and down they go.
All right, let's move on here. This next question, we're going to turn a little bit into Otanime right now.
Oh.
Slow by game, but we gotta go a little Otanime right now, bro.
Right. And I wish I still had that image. The image,
right? So this is also from Black Mage. Now that the licensing dispute between Harmony Gold, Big West, and Studio Nui is over, do you think we, the Western world, will get some quality/unreleased Macross games? Before we get to that, Chris, can you summarize the whole craziness that happened with Harmony Gold and Macross and Robotech and all that other shit?
Yeah, so Robotech is was Harmony Gold licensing 3 separate shows from the Tatsunoko studio. So Robotech is a combination of Macross, Mos Piada, and Southern Cross. And so those are 3 separate shows in Japan. They have nothing to do with each other. What Harmony Gold did is they wanted to combine them to create this other universe over here. It's kind of like what Saban did with Power Rangers and that stuff. Like those Super Sentai shows that he strings together to create Mighty Morphin and all that stuff, they have nothing to do with each other. Like even what consists of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is like 4 different Sentai shows over there that are unrelated, that are strung together.
The reason they did that is because back in the day you needed to have at least 65 episodes of a cartoon show or any show to be syndicated. So, and there was only like 40-ish episodes of Macross, so they needed to get all these other
shows. Yeah, so they padded it and with some clever dubbing and editing and a lot of cutting of stuff to kind of force them to work together and really force them. And I used to watch it and I was like, this doesn't make any sense. All of a sudden they're riding bikes. They were flying planes before, and it's like, what the fuck is going on? But so what happened was, so Big West is an advertising agency in Japan, in Tokyo, and they and Studio Nui came up with the original designs for Macross. They came up with the Veritech fighters and the characters and the Super Dimensional Fortress and all that stuff. So in Japan, they had owned that copyright, but the Tatsunoko made a deal, I think a bad deal with Harmony Gold, like 35 years ago, to have a co-copyright on the animated stuff for Robotech, and that created a huge problem. So that because Harmony Gold was able to block distribution of Macross because they wanted Robotech to be dominant in the West, and if you have these two conflicting shows that look alike, then they figured they'd lose money, so they blocked a lot of the stuff coming out of Japan, except the designs later on, like Macross Plus, which doesn't quite look like original Macross. The planes are different and stuff, so they allowed that, and they allowed on one other show. But other than that, they don't allow anything to come over here and get dubbed. And a few of the games, too. Like, you could play Robotech Battlecry. I remember that was on GameCube and OG Xbox. But you couldn't play Macross VFX. I had to buy that at Video Games New York. I bought the Japanese copy to play that game. And there was a game on the Dreamcast, too, that I wanted. And it was actually in Dreamcast Magazine that it was going to come here. And I'm sure Harmony Gold blocked that, too. That shit never came over here. So, I mean, that's the history of it. Now, apparently, they've put things right. In 2017, Harmony Gold actually only had 3 years of that license left. So this year, that was supposed to run out. They were supposed to lose the co-copyright. But somehow, they negotiated a renewal of that contract with Tatsunoko. So it's like indefinite. I don't know when it's up now. So what happened was, I don't know how, but I guess they really want to release a live-action Robotech movie from Sony in Japan. And so Big West and Studio Nui said, no way you're releasing that. They're playing the same game that Harmony Gold was playing over here. You're not releasing Robotech over here. So they finally made peace, came to some sort of licensing sharing and profit sharing agreement so that Harmony Gold can release their live action movie over there. And now more of the original Macross content, so shows and movies that were only released in Japan, never dubbed, never came over here, are going to come over. So what would that mean for the games? It possibly means that that Harmony Gold won't block them, because that's exactly what was happening. They were blocking those things. Mm-hmm. And I was looking forward. I still probably have the PSMs that were saying that VFX was going to come to original PlayStation. Never did. I had to go buy a fucking import. You know, so I would love if those games were re-released. Now, I mean, it's kind of dated. There was the Dreamcast one. Of course, Dreamcast not around anymore.
Some new games would be good, though. You know.
Yeah, and I don't. I haven't kept up with Macross. There's been a ton of shows. There's like Frontier and all this stuff. And there was Macross 7. I only saw Macross 7 with fan subbed. Yeah. You know, so I would love to see all those shows get released, but also the games. Like, I love the original Macross. The Macross Plus, one of my favorite anime movies of all time. It's up there. Top three with, like, Ninja Scrolls and, you know, Mad Bull 34 and all that old stuff, like Guyver, like all that old shit. I love it. It's fucking great. And
Mad Bull.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Yeah. I already know, man.
Brutality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a good thing. It opens the doors for that content. And they said, and the official press release said the Macross franchise.
Yeah, franchise.
So they didn't, but they weren't specific on what they exclude. They said most of the content.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting. I was like, so what are you excluding exactly? And they didn't say. I've read three articles. I read on Dead of Geek and a couple others. Nobody said what it was. I read the press release. They didn't specify.
Yeah, they weren't very specific about it. It's kind of annoying because it seemed to me like they're going to release all the sequels. I'm like, okay, but what about the original? Like, yeah. I want like a new, like, I'm just wishing right now. I would love a remastered, redubbed version of the original Macross, SDF Macross, right? And the fucking movie, because I was never,
want the movie.
The movie would be fantastic. That movie, till this day, the animation cannot be topped by anything that's been released. You know, it's fucking insane. By the way, I got to stop the show real quick. And this is just purely for the visual right now. This is our old Otanime thing here that Manny drew.
That's right.
You know, we had our anime girl, little ninja man, and a robot.
This is actually the second version when we revised the show, like redid the show twice. Like originally, yes, the characters were painted a little differently.
Yes.
So I redid them and redid the whole artwork a little bit, recolored it for the new version of old anime. So yeah, there you go.
And you know, you old school guys, you can see all the references to old school animes in there, you know. Good stuff. But yeah, that's my thing. You know, with the games, it'll be cool if we get like new games, but I want the first Macross brought over here properly, because ADV, they actually released it like in 2006. And it's funny because they had the Japanese actors who did Ming Mei doing the English voice, and it was like, oh, you know, Hideki, you know, it sounded all off and shit, but it was cool, you know, because because everybody else was great, you know. But they need to redo that, because that whole thing's been pissing me off for a while. Like, yo, just release this shit, man. Fucking Harmony Gold, you know? All right, so there's a little anime lesson for you. But when it comes to games, yes, release those fucking games, you know? New ones, because, yeah, you're right, Chris. I think those old games will be too dated, you know?
Yeah, they're probably not going to release for a lot of those old
games. Gundam, to be honest, by the way, GZR, Gundam has nothing to do with this. That's a completely different company and all that. So nothing with that. We get plenty of Gundam in here. That's not a problem at all, you know. They recently, like 10 years ago, they released all the Gundam shows on DVD. So you're good on those Gundam, but it has nothing it's a totally different situation, you know.
Gundam.
They did prequels to the original Gundam show, and they're like movies. They're fucking great. We'll watch those.
Yeah, I saw one of them. The unicorn, I think it was. That shit was crazy.
Gundam Unicorn is actually very good.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, but the thing, you know, with Gundam, my issue with it is, I'm talking about the newer ones. You know, it's like fucking robots are all CG, but you know, that's just how it is now.
It's funny because like that one does they do a pretty good job of replicating the animation, and like a lot of the time it is animated.
Yeah.
But yeah, like some of the transformations are switched out to sweet CG stuff, and
you could always tell because the frame rate goes all off. You know, it's like suddenly it has more frames. Well,
it goes from, because so everything is animated usually a little bit lower than animated in two frames per second or something like that, two frames in a second. So what they'll do is, it, for the CG stuff, it's always running at a perfect 24. So it's obviously running smoother than the actual animation.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. Moving on. I believe this next question is it's an extra one from Mr. Mob Hits. This is an interesting one because we need some fact checking on this one. He goes, what are your thoughts on why the GameCube failed against the original Xbox? Is this true? Did the original Xbox outsell the GameCube?
I think they sold similar.
That's what I thought. GameCube outsold the Xbox. So we need some fact checking here.
I'm wondering what this is, because I know for a fact that there was a time when Xbox was so goddamn popular that every gaming fucking system was called an Xbox. But I don't remember. Do you remember when that happened, Tony?
No, the Xbox never really took off, the first one. Like, it was just like people were like, what the fuck is this?
No,
shit?
Which, you know? Xbox?
The original, the oh, 360. That was the one.
It's the 360 is when it hit.
That's why, like, with 360 era, when people said gaming, they were talking about Xbox. You know, where they talked Xbox, they talked gaming. So that was the one, not the original one. The original one kind of flew under the radar. You know, okay,
It's because I had it. It didn't seem to fly under the radar with the people that I knew and the places that I went. Like, it was. Well, go ahead.
No. Brett, finish your story.
The four controller ports in Halo fucking changed everything for a lot of people I know. It was the get-together console. It was the party console. It had the four ports like the GameCube, but it had power like the PlayStation. So it was the middle ground. Plus, there was always Halo. There was Halo fucking everywhere you went. I still to this day have never seen a title as saturated into the general, here it is, zeitgeist, as I did Halo back in the day, man.
They both sold similar. 21 million for GameCube, 24 for the Xbox original.
Yeah, so it was about similar then.
Yeah. I mean, PlayStation 2 was 157 million.
You know?
Yeah, are those worldwide numbers or U.S. numbers?
Probably worldwide. Sounds like worldwide, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, worldwide. I don't think domestically they were beating the pants off of everybody quite that bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, PS2 was pretty fucking dominant in his day, man.
No. It was. I was just saying, like, yeah. Sony has literally dominated just about every generation that I can think of.
Yep. Since the PS1, you know.
PS3 is a toss-up, man.
In North America, PlayStation 2 outsold the Xbox and the GameCube combined, doubled.
Okay, that sounds a little bit more right.
Yeah, no, PS2 was a monster.
No, PS2 definitely beat the pants off it. I was just like, wow, was it really that much? That has to be taking Japan into account, man.
Yeah, it's the whole world.
Japan bought an Xbox, just straight up. Like, there's like three people.
They bought one Xbox, you know? All right, let's go. There you go. Yeah, so there you go. But why did it? So I guess GameCube was sold less, but it's about equal, so I wouldn't even call that a slaughter. GameCube was on its way.
I honestly the GameCube was kind of on its way out at that point, and Xbox was on its way in.
No, they both came out at the same time, dude.
As a brand, man. As a brand.
Oh, as a brand. I was about to say, because both systems launched around the same time.
This was the steady decline of Nintendo, and it continued pretty well after that.
Like, the Wii blew up after that, man. So
we're not getting into that. But yeah, man, like I remember that time, and I remember that it was kind of the successor to the Dreamcast. It had a bunch of games. It had four controller ports like the Nintendo, so it was kind of a social gaming console. They did a lot of the same things. There was a lot of party games on both of them. So yeah, I would say that they were kind of competing, man.
Yeah, they were. It was all, they were competing with each other because Sony just murdered both of them. But yeah, those were the contemporaries of its time, you know? But I still think it had different audiences. You know, Nintendo guys are Nintendo guys, you know?
Microsoft was buying for the Nintendo audience because Nintendo would not do mature content, would not release any mature games, wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, not at that point.
In that era, I think they were a little bit more open on the GameCube.
What did they have?
Resident Evil came out.
Oh, that's right. Resident Evil came out. Never mind. Resident Evil 4 was a GameCube exclusive for a while.
That was the big deal. It was like, oh, wow, they're going to be a Resident Evil game that's on there? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, sure, they're doing adult games? That was a while in, though. Like, I remember Eternal Darkness, I think it was. Like, I remember playing that and be like, why are there not more games like this on GameCube? Of course, I'm reminding everybody that I'm using language that's purely anecdotal here. So take it for what you will.
Yeah. All right. And the final question of the night. This one's also for me, man. Here we go.
Oh. Who's that?
Who that? Simple question, straight to the point. What did you guys think of the Resident Evil Village demo? Dun, 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 dun. All right, so who here played it? I know I did. Yeah, because I think it was just me and you, Chris, that played this shit. The thing is, it was only available for like a 8-hour window, you know? And I came in literally an hour before the shit shut down, you know? So I completed it. I posted my results on Twitter. It was like 20. It's funny because the demo was 30 minutes long. I beat it in 26 minutes and like 30 seconds. I'm like cutting it close, you know? But because of that, I just rushed through the shit. Like, I searched everything, don't get me wrong, but I did it in a very hurried pace. So that was my only main complaint. I didn't like being rushed, you know, because Resident Evil, you know, you want to take your time with shit, you know. But I thought the game was dope. You know, I liked the little segment. I'm not gonna ruin anything. I thought it was a good representation. It was even a big fight and shit. These dudes jumped you. That was really cool. But my kind of minor complaint, which I talked about before, was like particularly during some parts where you're like getting really close to some textures, you're like, why is this shit looking like PS3 era stuff, bro? This is a PS5 game, you know?
You weren't playing a PS5 version, I think.
Oh, you think it was a PS4? That would explain things.
Before one.
That explains it then. Okay, so I can forgive it because I'm like, this shit, don't get me wrong, it ran nice and everything, 60 frames a second. It looked good, but you know, it's kind of a little bit suspect there. But yeah, I liked it, and I'm ready to dive back into the world, man. The Resident Evil for life, man. You know, so I enjoyed it. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. So I played it twice. So I played on my account, and I got cut off when I got to the truck. Uh-oh. So you know that part where you bash the truck in? Like, the game the game just stopped. Didn't matter if you're watching it or not. If you're playing, it just stops. So then I played on Kristen's account, and I skipped
every scene. I ran to the old man's house. Yeah. I ran to the back. So I knew where to go. So I'm like, fuck it. So what I did on mine, I wanted to try to fight the werewolves in the field. Yeah, so I killed all of them.
Nice.
I was like, I started just stabbing them. I was like, yeah, you know what? Dark Souls. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to fight these guys. Like, fuck it. I'm going to see if I can make it. I did. But then I wasted a lot of time. The second playthrough, man, I was just like, run. I know where to go. Open the door. Get the guys in. The guy flipped out. Got in the truck. Got out of the house. And then I backtrack. I saw the old woman and all that stuff. And then you'll open the castle and it's, yeah. And I did that in about 17 minutes.
Nice.
And so, yeah, and then it'll, you know, the window was closing and I was like, oh, I could play it in 13 minutes. I was like, yeah, I'm good. So I like what I saw and I was like, I wanted to just fucking see everything. I was like, why couldn't you just open the demo if you're going to lock it? So just say, hey, you could play for 8 hours all day instead of like, oh, but you can only play for 30 minutes. Like, why? You know, I was like, man, look at this cool like statue and oh, what's over here, and I go in this house, but I knew I couldn't. The second time I was just like, oh, I gotta go over here. I know exactly what to open right now, and you just do it. And so I didn't feel like I was having fun. And I know next Saturday the castle opens up. Same thing with the 8 hour window, 30 minutes. So I'll do it. I will do it again. And this game gives me a lot of vibes. Like, I think for people, this is your Resident Evil 4 remake.
Yeah, heavy Resident Evil 4 vibes, man. I felt that shit, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you're right. I mean, because, by the way, the wolves, I killed one, but I unloaded every single bit of ammo I had just to kill this wing. I'm like, I'm not going to make it. Let me run. So I just ran and I found the door, you know, just on my first playthrough. But I caught everything. I had the shotgun. I had all this other shit. As I learned after the fact, there's crafting in there. I didn't even bother. I'm like, I ain't got no time for that shit. Keep it going, you know. Yeah. I was determined to beat that motherfucker, you know, the first time. Because it was like a demo ended at 1 a.m., right? I started playing at midnight. I'm like, all right, bro. You got to hustle, you know?
Yeah. I was pissed, too, because they started dropping weird shit. Like, one of them dropped a crystal skull.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to look at this thing, but I don't have time.
No time. No time. It's no time. So what's going to happen is they're going to have the castle demo next week. Then the week after that, they're going to have both demos up. You know, that's going to be 1 hour. Like, all right, bro. But, you know, we should probably finish it by then.
Isn't it both for play? It's like both are, you know, at least right now it's the play. It's just for PlayStation, and then they're opening it for the rest of Xboxes. And
I believe, you
know,
so.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff. You know, I enjoyed it very much. I am ready for that game. And, you know, what's going to make that game even better, right? The fact that we haven't had a brand new game to play in a long time. You know, when was the last time you played a new PS5 game? See?
Well,
cue those motherfucking throw down crickets, man. You know?
PS5 game in quotations.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we play Demon's Souls, but that's a remake. So that doesn't really count.
Yeah, but even that, no. Let's go with that. Demon's Souls. That game came out in November.
Yeah.
You know?
We're about to be May, man.
Nothing.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miles Morales, November, right? That was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Where the game's at, you know, these guys want to talk shit on Twitter. It's like, oh, Tony, why you bashing Sony? Like, because they ain't got no fucking games. That's why. But that must mean you think Xbox is gonna be like, no, they're even worse situation, bro. You know,
they didn't launch with anything.
With anything, you know. But you know how it is on online. These fucking assholes, like, you have to pick one or the other. You know, like, because now I'm an X-Bot again, by the way, you know?
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
They're making memes about me. They're putting me in clown makeup now and shit. Like, these guys are pathetic, man. It's hilarious. They're putting me and Paris side to side. Both of us put clown makeup on us and shit. It's funny, man. But yeah, no, I don't understand the whole, it could only be one or the other. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of, I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to offend anyone, but this is just the way I kind of see it, right? It's like whenever I talk to like a heavily religious person and you know, like, oh, you know, somebody's like, oh, you're Catholic, right? I'm like, no. I'm like, so you're a Christian? I'm like, no. And they're like, then they start getting weird out, right? Are you Jewish? I'm like, no. Muslim? Are you Muslim? I'm like, I don't believe any of that. And they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't believe? I'm like, none of it. I don't believe none of that. That's what these fanboys are like. It's like, so you're Destin Sony. You must love Microsoft. No? So you're the Nintendo guy then? No?
Nope.
PC? No? They're like, what? Like, it does not compute because their brains are so small, they only think in those terms. You know, you must be loyal to something, you know? It's hilarious. Fucking pathetic, too, you know? But keep on making the memes, fellas. Keep on making them, you know? I'm over here laughing and shit at you clowns, you know? Oh, God. It's hilarious. Anyway, that's the end of our
show. Now you got to show me those. I got to see that.
Yeah, I'll link it to you. It's only one day. They basically just took my, you know, my regular profile pic on Twitter and just put clown makeup on and shit, you know? Hey, listen, man, I'm the one working in industry, not you. You know, just saying.
Slap.
Yeah, because you know where all that is really born from, right? Jealousy.
I mean, with all the haters, man, it just means you're getting bigger.
Yep. Hey, listen, it's like a video game, right? You know you're on the right path when you face a bunch of enemies, bro. You know? So that's how it is. But I don't mind. It's entertainment to me. Because there's some people that get really, really upset about that shit. I think it's funny as fuck, you know? Anyway, we're about to wrap up. So what do we need to plug around here?
I mean, I'm always going to say the same thing, but you know,
let's show it.
Let's keep it going. We got, what is it? Dark Knights, Death Metal Darkest Night, which is out right now, has some stuff that I did for DC Comics. Also got your boys. Excellence. It's real. It'll always be real. And that's coming up soon. We got some new issues of that coming. And I got some other fun DC stuff happening and some maybe Marvel-y things. So stay tuned. Throw it on draws. I don't know what to do. So maybe you want to throw some – maybe we'll put a little poll.
That would be interesting. Like, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, we'll throw a little poll or something like that to see what we'll draw next. And we'll see what I can do on that. So good there you stuff. Go.
All right, Adam, what you got?
Well, got another episode of I Am Negan for Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 9, which is very cool. Got another death killing everybody off. So you can go check that out on The Coalition on Spotify and iTunes. Yeah, we're all over the place. It's myself and Richard Bailey Jr.
Oh, yes.
I Am Negan. Go check it out. If you love Walking Dead, man, Walking Dead for life, it's going to be around for another 25 to 30 years. So we are going to keep covering it, every show, every spinoff, every comic, and eventually action figures. We'll get back to that.
There you go. Ooh, action figures. Good stuff.
I have some of them. Not like I have my wrestling, which is disgusting. I got two.
All right, so I am on the Falcon and Winter Soldier podcast. It's me, Dana Abercrombie. Very easy last name to say, Richard. You know, Richard Bailey Jr. and Chris Seeley. We do that on Fridays. A new episode is up. We talked about the fifth episode, which is, it's all right, you know. A little bit of a letdown there, but you know, I'm not a letdown. It's just a slow burn kind of episode, but it was all right. Then I also do the Invincible podcast with Carlos, Dana, and Richard. And the latest episode of that is also up. I believe we recorded that today. That was a good one. It's funny, this week both Invincible and Falcon both had their kind of episodes, you know. Carlos, you had a controversial statement to make. I don't know if you want to say it on here right now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I started watching Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I started watching Invincible around the same time. And I told Tony, I'm like, hey, I think, or no, I told on the show, I'm like, I think I like Invincible better than Falcon and Winter Soldier so far. And then I watched the last two episodes before this of Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm like, oh, I think I like Falcon and Winter Soldier more.
You know.
And from last week, I'm still Falcon and Winter Soldier, but you know, like, anything can change.
That's right. Yeah, you never. So stay tuned for that, man. Carlos stay keeping tuned. You on the edge of your seat with this shit, you know? Okay, so yeah. So next week, and this is going to be the order of things now. So this is all the Coalition. Friday, we're going to have the Falcon and Winter Soldier podcast. Maybe Carlos will show up. Who knows? We're going to do that on Friday. Saturday, we're going to do Mortal Kombat, the movie. We're going to do a podcast on that, right? If any of you guys want to join, you know, let me know. And then Sunday, we'll do Invincible again. So a lot of podcasts, you know, not non-gaming podcasts, you know, because Coalition wants our help, we will definitely provide, because they helped us, man, a lot. You know, we still post there. You know, they're still our second home. So, you know, always shout out to the Coalition. Shout out to Richard and Gary, man, for helping us out when Throwdown needed that help, you know, back when we did the transition. So eternally shout out to those guys, you know. And I talk to those guys every single day too, man. It's crazy, you know. Same thing with Riku. I still talk to Riku every single day. Hey, man. Talk about anime and shit, you know. Riku. All right, man, we're out of here, people. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, and join the Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, and you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you're watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed this episode, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Oh, support your local Wahlburger.
Brett Murdoch. And Brian Monjoma.
And now it's time for the best part of the show. More Adam stories.
Oh, shit. Let's go. No, I want to hear Brett's take on Attack on Titan. This is very interesting. I'm riveted.
And Wahlburger. I'm sure Wahlburger for one.
Brett, do you know Wahlburger? He doesn't want to answer. All right. Hey, yo, we'll see you on Sunday, people. Thursday. Peace out.
Ladies.